Welcome everybody to week 8 of the Montana Legislative Session. Today we have the Blue Bench Podcast. I'm Gabby Krevet. I'm the Communications Director with the Montana Democratic Party. And today I have with me Shannon O'Brien. Well, we have some big news this week and some big victories. Medicaid expansion passed through the Senate on Thursday afternoon, and it's officially on its way to the governor's desk. This is a huge victory for Montanans across the state. Later on in the show, we'll talk to Representative Mary Cafaro from Helena, affectionately known as Medicaid Mary. She has done so much work to get these kinds of bills out the door, and we'll talk to her a little bit later. Shannon, what updates do you have?
Yeah, I think victory is the word, and Medicaid is the big one for sure. But with lots of big stuff going on with transmittal right around the corner, that means that all bills that are introduced in the Senate need to be transmitted in the House to the House halfway through the session. And likewise, any bill that was introduced in the House has to be transmitted to the Senate by this deadline coming up right around the corner. So lots of work to be done. Hearings are going long, floor sessions are going long, but I do want to point out just a couple of highlights in addition, additional victories, we'll call them. We were able to kill some union buster bills so we could preserve the rights of workers to do their collective bargaining, which is great. The school voucher bills have died, which so far we are so grateful. We need to protect our public schools. And then big win in Indian country with Indigenous Peoples Day is moving forward out of the Senate, Indian child welfare, and Indian education for all bills. Those are all moving forward. So, and then one other point that was interesting, last week, things got log jammed in committees in the Senate. And on President's Day of all days, moderate Republicans worked with Democrats, and we were able to blast bills that had been stuck in committee. They made it through the House and were just stuck there. And this is that working majority we keep hearing about that is able to get the work done for Montanans. And it was a fun day. 20 bills were blasted, and that was fun to see.
And Democrats led the charge on that, is that right?
That is 100% right. Yeah, Senator Pat Flowers is truly shining in his leadership role there.
Great. So Shannon, I want to take a step back. I just thought of this as you were explaining a little bit. For those that are maybe not very familiar with the legislative process, what can you tell us about transmittal? What happens during that time, and how can people still stay engaged and support lawmakers during that time?
Thanks for asking, Gabby. So transmittal, as I mentioned, is this deadline halfway period where bills have to shift, but there's also a break. Typically, there's 2 to 3 to 4 days that legislators have off. This time, it looks like they'll have 4 days, quote, off to go back to their districts and meet with their constituents. I'm hearing lots of local Democrats hosting listening sessions or town hall meetings. And the Montana Democratic Party, thanks for asking, on Monday night at 5:30 on March 10th, we will be hosting a virtual town hall. So we will have leadership represented from both the House and the Senate will be available for us, and they'll be sharing kind of the halfway report, halftime report, if you will, of what's happened so far, what their eyes on the prize might be, and how we're going forward. And then we'll have some time for question and answers as well.
Well, I really want to save time for our interview with Representative Cafaro. Again, Medicaid expansion is such a massive victory led by Montana Democrats 100% of the way, and Representative Cafaro definitely gets into that. I will note for listeners that this interview was recorded on Wednesday afternoon, and that was before the bill had passed through the Senate. But regardless, I think the content is valuable and really insightful, and I'm really looking forward to sharing this interview with you guys.
And one other really important point with the Medicaid expansion bill is it's now up to the governor. So folks, listeners, if you hear this, reach out to the governor's office and let him know how you feel about Medicaid expansion, how you feel about 80,000 people being eligible for health care. So it's up to the governor now.
All right, well, let's get into the interview, Shannon. Well, we're really excited to have Representative Mary Cafaro from Helena on the show today. Mary, I like to tell everyone who will listen to me that you are definitely in my top five favorite Democrats in the whole world. So it's just so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I love being here.
Yay. Well, gosh, what are we on now, Mary? Mary, is it week eight? Is it week seven or it's week eight? What's going on in Helena and what's on your mind today?
Okay, well, thanks for asking. And I am really happy to be here. It's always fun to communicate what's going on in the vortex as far as from my perspective. And so in general, the Republicans are taking $1.2 billion in surplus. That's what we started the session with. And so of course, what Democrat values do we have? We value public lands. We really value public education and health. So, you know, our priorities would tell us that you take some of that money and invest it in the issues that we care the most about. So what do the Republicans value? They have been taking that money and putting it here, there, and everywhere, and all of these funds, tying it up with all these rules that will make it hard to get to. And of course, then we have less money to invest in the things that the people of Montana sent us here to do. That's one thing. The second thing is, and this ties to all of those slush funds around that are sucking up money that really doesn't belong to us, and Montana's not supposed to be an investment firm, but that's what the Gianforte administration is turning it into. So ARPA funds, the federal funds, came into the state a couple of years ago to help us address the challenges that our citizens were facing during the pandemic. That's why we got ARPA funds, thanks to Joe Biden and thanks to Senator Tester. That money came to the state, and at that time, Governor Bullock got money out into the communities where it belonged to help with all of those challenges, from parents who couldn't find daycare, parents who were trying to teach their children, to infrastructure, jobs, all of those really important issues. So the ARPA money comes to the state, has specific purposes. The federal government requires us, you don't have to spend the money, you can send it back. But if you're going to spend the money, it goes to these certain purposes. And what does Gianforte do with the money? We really don't know. We do know that it's tied up in a slush fund. How much is there? I don't know. I've been asking and asking, but we know that a whole boatload is tied up in some slush fund. And how do we know it's a boatload? Because the interest alone is so far up to, I believe, $80 million. They project by the end of the year, it will be up to over $100 million. So we have this mysterious ARPA fund that should be going for the purposes of ARPA to our constituents. Instead, it's sitting there and being used as an investment. And then the interest, which is another slush fund, is going for who knows what. We did get some information and learned that some of that money was going, $12 million, to purchase a building. No oversight at all from legislature, all under the radar. And this is the big thing that you will really find interesting. Some of that interest money went to the Judicial Review Committee, the phony Judicial Review Committee, the partisan Republican, let's take over the courts review committee. 500,000 went over to that committee so they could do their phony work, you know.
Right.
Now, this is really going to kill you. And out of that 500,000, the money that Ellsworth was using to give his buddy a bone, whatever it was, $170,000, it came from the $500,000 that came from the governor's office, that came from the interest, that came from ARPA funds being misused. So follow that line of reasoning. And then the $12 million to buy a building For what purpose? The state is not buying buildings in this day and age. So that's really, I mean, I've worked here a long time. I lobbied before I was a representative. And I tell you, the halls right now are filled with, well, you can smell it. You can smell the money.
And obviously, there's frustration in your voice as a Democrat, but I got to imagine that Republican lawmakers are upset with this as well. They want this money going towards their constituents and improving the lives of their constituents, not sham judicial committee meetings that were taking place all summer. Do you hear any of your Republican colleagues frustrated about this?
Well, obviously not the majority because they're voting right along with the governor to keep up with this scam. And I mean, I've gotten to the point where you really can see we have money in our state. We're going to be in structural imbalance in a few years because the Republicans are spending the money like drunken sailors. Some of them don't even know different. So you would think that the Republicans would say, whoa, hold up, hold on, time out, let's figure this out. And there are some who, the hard right, who is saying, wait a minute, we need to know more about what's happening. I'm not comfortable with all of these bills going out of appropriations that have $100, $200, $300 million price tags to all of these accounts that nobody knows anything about. There are some Republicans who are saying, let's put the brakes on it, but it's the minority. The majority of Republicans are going along with this really irresponsible way of spending money that in the future is going to leave us in the hole. And the first place they'll look to cut will be education and human services.
Well, I'm just so glad you brought this up. This was a really big story that broke last week, and I think we need to continue bringing this to people's attention because it's a problem for sure. But on that note, I might suggest that we transition to a topic that I know is very near and dear to your heart, and that is Medicaid expansion. I understand that Medicaid and healthcare is a priority of our House and Senate Democrats. So I feel like it's especially important to bring up what is the status of Medicaid expansion?
It started in the House Human Services. It's been oh through all of these different twists and turns. And but I have to take you back. I have to take everyone back because Republicans are sponsoring the bill. We have a Republican governor who may sign it, and he's going to take credit for it. But guess what? This is a Democrat bill. It is Democrat priority. It is Democrat values. Way, way back when, we have always, always fought for all people to have access to health care, all people. Because we know what happens when you have a healthy population. The person who is working in the back of the house who really needs their teeth fixed under Medicaid expansion, that happened. And that worker now was on a career ladder and moved to the front of the house. And for the first time, these are my constituent stories, for the first time in his life, he was able to smile and feel proud. Those are really important stories. The woman who worked great in the workforce, doing fine. Her husband gets Alzheimer's. She makes the choice to reduce her work hours so that she can do the right thing and take care of her husband. She deserves health care. So many people deserve health care. The father who told me about his son that has severe mental illness, for the first time in his life, he was able to hold down a job. Why? Because he had Medicaid expansion, which provided access to the treatment and the drugs that he needed to remain stable. So Medicaid expansion across the board helps so many different people. And of course, there's the business argument too, which I won't get into because everyone else talks about it so much. But Democrats have been there from the beginning. We set the table. We set the table for Medicaid expansion. And I was a co-sponsor in 2015, and in 2019, I was able to carry the Democrat bill. We negotiated, and you know what Democrats did? We pulled and pulled and pulled on the Republicans until we had a bill that made sense for Montana and Montanans. So I just need to emphasize that Democrats are the ones who really deserve the credit, and Republicans too, but we would not be here, and we would not be here with out all of the public input that many Democrats across the state have done, all of the phone calls, the emails, the rallies, the meetings, and elevating the issue. I really am grateful. I'm grateful to be here as a legislator, but I am more grateful that I'm able to represent and facilitate the process from the ground up. And so thank you to all of you who have worked so hard to get us where we are today.
Great. Thanks for providing us with that background. I think it's really important, and I think it's important for de Democrats to celebrate this as a victory because it's been Democrats leading the way from the beginning, for sure.
Absolutely.
So, Representative Cafaro, I know you are the Vice Chair of Appropriations. What can you tell us about what's happening with the budget? Do you have any updates or anything you want to shine some light on?
Sure. So all of the different subcommittees have finished their work, almost all of them have finished their work, and now the budget will go to the full Appropriations Committee, although we won't be taking that on for another couple of weeks. And I would like to highlight some success we had in the area that I am on, and that is a subcommittee on Health and Human Services. We had five Republicans and four Democrats, and we were able to get some huge things done. For example, Medicaid expansion and all of Medicaid, in order to really do the work that needs to be done, we need to support the providers and the workers that do that really important care. And what we were able to do was get a 3% rate increase in both years of the next biennium. That is huge, and that is so important to keep the doors open and people who need the care able to get the care. So that was one success. Two other ones that I'll highlight, although there are many more. Another one is millions of dollars into communities to address when somebody has a mental health crisis. So, a crisis response in the community, millions and millions of dollars, and this is how, by opening up beds so people have somewhere to go when they need it instead of having to go into the back of a police car and get hauled to the state hospital. That was really important. And then another one is home visiting is a very successful program. And so, again, millions of dollars to go to home visiting for mamas who are suffering from substance use disorder or a mental illness. Not everybody has family supports. And I mean, we just really support that. Some people need that. They need someone to come into their home and help them with many things. And I'm not saying that people who are low income don't have the ability to parent. They absolutely do. But many of them don't have the supports that they need. And so home visiting, crisis beds in the community, and a provider rate increase that is so huge. Those were important things that we're able to get done in subcommittee. And I just wanted to highlight that. In order for Medicaid expansion to work, we need the workforce and we need the providers, the two most important parts in the system, people who care and the people who need the services. And that's where this money will be directed.
These are big victories. These
Yes,
are
they
big
are.
victories, and I think it's really important that we celebrate them when we have them because I know the session can be tough. So this is really exciting news. I know our listeners will be thrilled to hear this. So we thank you for your hard work, Representative Cafaro. Representative Cafaro, are there any other updates from last week and this week that you'd like to bring to attention for some of our listeners?
Well, thanks for that because although Section B got some good stuff done, and I already talked about that, there are a number of glaring, there are a number of immoral and shameful things that the Republicans put forward or opposed. One of them is there was a motion to accept the funding of 20 million federal dollars, 20 million in federal dollars for what's called the Summer EBT program. What it is $20 million that could have come to our state to feed hungry kids during the summer. During the summer, kids who need food they don't get the food they need because they're not in school. And school is, teachers are taking care of kids in so many different ways now. So our subcommittee, on a party line vote, the Republicans killed the motion. Democrats supported it to bring money in to feed hungry kids during the summer. It is disgraceful, but not surprising considering that when the money was first offered a few summers ago, 10 million to feed hungry kids, the governor said, We don't need it. Parents can do that. That's the parents' responsibility. We don't need it. And again, with the public really fighting and putting so much input and pressure on Gianforte, in year two, he accepted the $10 million in federal dollars to feed hungry kids over the summer. Then we get to the legislature. I don't even know why it was in his budget. He didn't need our permission to get that money and spend it, but it's in the budget. Maybe there's a reason for that. He was counting on his buddies to kill it. But 20 million to the state to feed hungry kids, and the Republicans said, nope, I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, that's one of the basic needs, and there's a win-win for everybody in it. Math, science, and reading scores go up when kids have the nutrition that they need. It's good for the people who just, like me, care about children and think they deserve to eat. It helps with the economy. It creates a good workforce, but I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to be in that committee when you're up against people who, in my mind, either they don't have the experience, but I don't have a lot of experiences and I still know what we need to do. But Republicans killed it. I mean, let's just say that Republicans killed it. And to me, that signals that they don't care about hungry kids.
Exactly. Republicans don't care about hungry kids.
I mean, simple.
So thank you so much, Representative Cafaro, for all your hard work. And thank you so much for joining us on the Blue Bench podcast. I know you're extremely busy these days, so we do appreciate you taking the time and checking in with listeners.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Gabby. I love to talk to people about the positive, and also to let them know there's some big hurdles, but Democrats are getting through those.
Great. Well, thank you again.